Well, two scriptures to read. The first is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 3. Verily, I say to you, unless ye are converted and become as little children, ye will not at all enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Another verse from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted for the blotting out of your sins, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And finally, I want to read to you from the Epistle to the Thessalonians about some people who did repent and who were converted. First Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, partway through verse 8. This is Paul speaking of the Thessalonians that were converted. He says, but in every place your faith, which is towards God, has gone abroad, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves relate concerning us what entering in we had to you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. I want to begin by telling you about a dog that recently we lost. We had a dog that started to show behaviours that were not acceptable. In this country there's an act passed by in law called the Dangerous Dogs Act, and maybe a year, 18 months ago, that act was revised and updated, and it applies to any dog. It doesn't have to be a dangerous dog, but any dog that is perceived to potentially be harmful, or potentially there is a risk that a dog could cause harm to a person, be it a child or an adult. If that risk is there, the Act states that something has to be done about it. And if a person feels that a dog is at risk of causing harm, they can insist that that dog is treated in some way or dealt with in some way so that that risk is taken away. Well, unfortunately for us, our dog started to show tendencies where he potentially could have been harmful to someone. In fact, he bit me on more than one occasion. And because I didn't want there to be that risk, and because I knew there was also this act that had been passed in relation to dangerous dogs, I felt I needed to speak to someone about it. And so I talked to the vet and we discussed what could be done. And in view of his history, in view of the risk that was there, the vet decided that he needed to be put to sleep. And thinking about that, it brought home to me the way that God looks down upon each one of us and assesses how we are and looks for whether we are suitable to be in his presence. So I read these verses tonight to bring home to us that things that happen around us are often illustrative of much greater things and far more important things in our lives. One of these things that I want to speak to you about tonight is God's requirement for us to be in his presence. And this first scripture I read is Jesus speaking to his disciples and saying to them quite plainly, unless ye are converted, he said, and become as little children, ye will not at all enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Now, just to put that verse into context, the disciples have been talking amongst themselves and asking Jesus, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heavens? And we know from other passages of the scripture, they were even talking amongst themselves as to who would get to sit next to the Lord in heaven. Who would have a place in heaven. And so the Lord very strongly reminds them that there has to be a change. You can't think humanly in relation to the things of God. And so it is for each one of us. We can't apply our human logic and our human reasoning to the things of God. And especially when it comes to our entrance into the kingdom of the heavens, which is another way of speaking about God's world. The sphere that God dwells in, and the sphere where God would have us to be. But there's no entrance into that kingdom of heavens, or the kingdom of God, as it's spoken of elsewhere. There's no entrance unless you and I are converted. And in this passage he also adds, and become as little children. Start over again. He was talking to adults mainly when he said that, but there was a child in the midst. And he was using the contrast between those that were around him and this little child to say, look, unless you're converted and become like this little child, there's no way that you will have any entrance into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean for you and for me? Well, I thought I would just say a few little words tonight about what it means to be converted. It's a word that's used in the scripture quite a few times. I didn't intend to read all of the references, but I did pick up this other reference in Acts chapter 3, where Peter, in speaking to his fellow Jews, was describing to them the way that a man had been healed. His lameness had been taken away. He'd been seen to be walking and leaping in the temple. And Peter had done that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to the man, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. This man, having taken him by the hand, immediately rose up. His feet and his ankle bones were made strong. The people around who saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him, they knew who he was, and they wondered. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And Peter preached the gospel to them at that point and said, why do you wonder? Why are you astonished? It's nothing to do with me. But it's all to do with God. And it's all because of the man Christ Jesus, whom God has raised from among the dead. He described Jesus as the one who is the originator of life. Son of God, the one who was there at the beginning. The Word, as John, the Apostle John describes him, the Word was God, the Word was with God. And the Word was there in the beginning with God. The one by whom everything that hath been has been, the creator of the universe. That was the one that just recently, a few weeks earlier, had been crucified. The holy and righteous one, Peter says, you denied him and asked that a man that was a murderer should be granted to you. The originator of life he slew. Then he says, God raised him from among the dead. By faith in his name, this man has been made strong. It says, the faith which is by him has given him this complete soundness in the presence of you all. And he goes on to say, but I know that you did it in ignorance. That is, that he crucified the originator of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you did it in ignorance. And also your rulers. And he said, God has thus fulfilled what he had announced beforehand by the mouth of all his prophets. So Peter was reassuring them that what had actually happened was in the purposes and plans of God. So what must they do? Peter says very plainly to them, repent therefore and be converted for the blotting out of your sins, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance, we sang that in our hymn. There aren't many hymns that speak about repentance, but I chose one of them to start this occasion. Repentance only God requires from man. And it's a wonderful thing that God, the one requirement that he has for us to be in his presence is repentance. He has done everything else. All the other requirements have been met, not by you or by me, but by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He, the righteous one, the holy and righteous one, he died upon the cross, not because the rulers and the people put him there, but because he went there to be the saviour of the world. That was the very reason he came into this world, as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. His name was Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It was divinely purposed that he should come at that very time, when the fullness of time had come. The apostle says to the Galatians, God sent his son, Jesus, into the world. And that's exactly what happened. God has provided everything for your salvation and for my salvation. So Jesus has borne my sins in his body there on the cross at Calvary. Even though I wasn't born, Jesus in his infinite wisdom, God, in that wonderful provision that he's made for my salvation, he has put my sins upon the Lord Jesus on that cross. Jesus has borne the judgment in relation to them. Such was the tremendous act that was completed there upon the cross, that the sin of the world has been taken away. What a marvellous provision God has made. So he can come out in blessing now to the whole world, that no one can be excluded from this blessing that God has in mind for you. The times of refreshing that are spoken of in this verse. The verse I quoted in prayer at the outset, that God does not wish that any should perish, but desires that all should come to repentance. There's that word again. The one requirement that God requires of you and for me is that we should repent. Now, what do these words mean, repentance? Repent and be converted. Well, repentance, in all its simplicity, is that you demonstrate to God that you have a change of mind, a change of heart, that you are sorry for the way that you are, you are sorry for the sins that you have committed, and that you recognize that you are a sinner, and that as such, you are not fit for the presence of God. Once you recognize that and realize that, and turn to God in repentance, that is what and turn to God and say sorry. That is what repentance is all about. Being converted, what does that mean? That also implies a change, but it's more than that. The word convert really means that you turn to God. So you basically turn to God and tell him that you're sorry for your sins. And that is the only requirement that God requires from you and from me, repentance, the admission that you are a sinner and that you are sorry that you have sinned. So Peter says to the crowd that were listening to him, repent therefore and be converted for the blotting out of your sins. It's all to do with your sins, the thing that keeps you away from God. The thing that will forever keep you out of his presence, for God can't look upon sin, for he is holy. But tonight he's looking upon you, the sinner, because his hands are outstretched to bless, as we sang at the outset. In mercy, he has provided the Saviour Jesus. And that's why the hymn adds that you need faith in Christ. Because there's no good turning to someone and saying that you're sorry if there's no hope of forgiveness. Because there will be no change. There will be no alteration of your situation. You can't go, if you've committed a crime in this country, you can't go to court and you can't say you're sorry and just walk out. That can't happen. You have to pay the penalty for the crime that you have committed. But in God's ways of grace and mercy towards you tonight, you can come to Him, you can admit that you were wrong, you can say that you're sorry. And you can also look to Christ and have faith in Christ, and you will not have to pay the punishment for your sins, because Christ has already done that for you. And your faith in Christ is what God looks for, so that when you say sorry and your faith is in Christ, He is ready and able to forgive you, and the blotting out of your sins can take place. You know, that word is interesting. It's likening it to the writing on a piece of paper, taking the blotting paper and removing that writing so it's gone. Blotting out of your sins, they're removed, and God will never remember them anymore, because they've been done away with and dealt with completely at the cross on Calvary by the Lord Jesus Himself. So that's the wonderful message of good news. That's why we sang glad news from heaven. It is wonderful news. Nowhere else can you find such a result for saying sorry. Nowhere else can you be cleared completely of your guilt. Nowhere else can you have the punishment that you rightly should pay be completely removed. But you can, when you come to the Lord, come to God in faith, with faith in the Lord Jesus. So Peter said, repent therefore and be converted for the blotting out of your sins, so that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. The previous scripture, unless you be converted, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. The one and only requirement that God has is that you repent and you be converted. So you need to turn to God. There is no other way. I just read in Thessalonians because it's an illustration to us of those that receive the preaching of the glad tidings. They receive the word. Their faith, which is towards God, had gone abroad. All the other cities around had given witness to the fact that the Thessalonians were changed people. They repented, they turned to God. And that's exactly how this scripture describes what they had done. They themselves relate concerning us what entering in we had to you. So the evidence is there that they've received the gospel. And the evidence was there that they'd be obedient to the word. And it says, how ye turned to God from idols. There was something very visible about their conversion. And that's what conversion means. They turned to God. Have you turned to God yet? Maybe you feel you're a sinner. Maybe you feel the burden of your sins. Maybe you are sorry about your sins. But have you turned to God? The two things are important. Repent and be converted. Have you turned to God? You know, you read in the scripture of people that repented. They showed remorse for what they've done. I suppose Judas is a prime example of that. He showed remorse for the way that he had betrayed the Lord Jesus. He might have been sorry for what he'd done, but he never turned to God. Yeah, the Thessalonians. The fact that they turned to God is mentioned first. They turned to God from idols. They left the behavior that they had been engaged in. That was the worshipping of idols, the ignoring of God. They did not recognize that there was only the one and only true God. But no doubt they had many gods that they were worshipping. Just like those in Greece, the Athenians that Paul went to, another city not too far from from Thessalonica. He found that Athenians were there worshipping gods, and they even had one god, they said, to the unknown god. Well, that just reached into Paul's heart, and he couldn't restrain himself from explaining to them the one and only true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one in whom each one of us live and breathe because of the goodness of God, the creator who's given us life. And I might add that the life that you and I have is quite different to the life that we see around us in the natural world. For you and I have been breathed into by God. That was how man was created, distinguishing the human race from the animal kingdom. We are special to God, and that's why he was so concerned when Adam sinned and when the human race fell in the position that God placed him in the Garden of Eden. He had a position that was above all creation. But we speak of the fall of man, a common expression in the world, recognizing that there has been that fall from the place that God established man in originally. Adam sinned, and because of the disobedience of the one man, death has passed upon the whole human race, and not one of us will escape that death. I was speaking about my dog earlier. He couldn't escape death because he was not able to change his behavior. You can change tonight. You can repent and be converted. And like these Thessalonians, you can turn to God from idols. It was very evident that they had done that. Now, something else that concerns me is that if you truly have repented, and if you truly have turned to God, there will be an evidence. We don't say you're converted just to indicate that you've turned to God, but it also implies that there's a change as well, that you're a different. You've been converted from what you were to what you now become as a Christian. These have turned to God from idols. They no longer served idols. What does it say? They turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. The one who I said earlier, the only true God. They turned away from the false gods, and they've turned to the one and only God, the true living God. And they served in him. There would have been a clear difference in their lives. And I think each one of us needs to show that clear difference as we repent and are converted in turning to God. It brings about a change. Well, we spoke about times of depression in the presence of the Lord. That's one of the changes that you know inwardly. We spoke this afternoon, and it was so interesting to have that scripture before us today, because it confirms what I'm speaking about tonight, that there are things that mark the one who has been converted, the things that are put off and the things that are put on. That's the practical working out of the conversion in you as a believer. And it signifies a change, and it will be evident to those that you are with, to your fellow believers. We've read about singing to one another in psalms and spiritual songs. These Thessalonians, they were serving a living and true God, and furthermore, they were awaiting his Son from the heavens. Complete change in their personality and the style of their lives and the way that they were living. They were waiting for the one whom God had raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. Well, this verse really sums up in a nutshell all the elements of the gospel. But in a way it does it in the reverse to what I've been speaking. I've been speaking about our sins and the judgment to come, the coming wrath. appear. It's put in the way that they turn to God, asserting Him, the one who God has raised, and they're waiting for His Son, the one whom God has raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. Often we come into these things the other way round. We recognize that we are going to perish, for indeed God has said that will be the result of everyone that does not believe on the Son of God. God sent His Son into the world that whosoever believes Him may not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the one through whom we are able to get that eternal, everlasting life. And it's because He has died on that cross and borne the judgment of God in relation to sin. But God has raised Him, demonstrating to us all the wonderful truth of that work, finished work on the cross at Calvary. The message is repent and be converted. And if you truly repent, if you truly turn to God, there will be that evidence in your life that you are serving God and awaiting His Son from the heavens. While we wait, we need to be occupied with Him, as we were encouraged this afternoon to see. Have your mind set upon the things that are above, where the Christ is. We remember Him each week, those of us that love Him, those of us that have been converted. We do that because we're waiting for His Son. In the time while we're waiting, we remember Him until He comes. And of course, when He comes, He will take us to be ever with Him. And being with Him means that we'll be also in the presence of His Father. I go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. That was the message that He gave to His disciples. He also had told them earlier that I go to prepare you a place that where I am, He also may be. But your entrance into that kingdom of the heavens will only be if you repent and are converted. Or may you heed the word, and may you complete that act, that the only act that God requires, repentance, repent and be converted.